From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. The Lee County School Board made history with its recent vote to opt district schools out of state-mandated high-stakes testing. Supporting board members characterized the vote as an act of civil disobedience against excessive testing mandates. That decision created unknowns on a variety of issues, from the future of education funding to whether students who don't take the exams can receive a standard high school diploma. Then, just days later, school board member Mary Fisher changed her mind in a second vote, which rescinded the board's decision to opt out of state-mandated testing. But efforts are now in the works to create a more detailed opt-out plan. We'll explore the pros and cons of opting out of high-stakes testing and whether it's the right decision for Lee County schools. First, this news. From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. The Lee County School Board's vote last week to opt out of state-mandated testing made national headlines. The 3-2 vote came after board members listened to testimony from dozens of impassioned activists and parents. Lee School Superintendent Nancy Graham and School District Attorney Keith Martin warned board members that opting out could have negative consequences for teachers and students, as the decision raised concerns about the future of state education funding, merit pay for teachers, whether students would be able to graduate with standard high school diplomas, along with concerns about the future of other education programs in the district. Then just days later, on Tuesday, school board member Mary Fisher changed her mind in a second vote to rescind the earlier opt-out decision. Many opt-out supporters at that meeting walked out in anger after the vote, but the issue is far from over. Superintendent Graham told reporters after Tuesday's recent vote that her staff will now have time to work out a more detailed plan for the possibility of a future opt-out action. School board member Don Armstrong said he'd begin working on a plan as well to bring before the board at a meeting later this month. Joining me now for a closer look at the pros and cons of opting out of high-stakes testing and whether it's the right decision for Lee County is Bob Schaefer. He's the public education director for the National Center for Fair and Open Testing and a longtime Lee County resident. He's also testified in favor of the school district's opt-out proposal. Bob Schaefer, thanks for joining us in studio today and welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon, John.
From Tallahassee, we're speaking with Chief Executive Officer for the Foundation for Excellence in Education, Patricia Levesque. Levesque previously served as Deputy Chief of Staff for Education, Enterprise Solutions for Government, Minority Procurement, and Business and Professional Regulation under Governor Jeb Bush. She also served in the Florida Legislature as a Staff Director for Education Policy in the Speaker's Office. Patricia Levesque, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We're also speaking with News Press education reporter Emily Atterbury. She covers all things education related to Lee and Collier County schools and has been closely watching developments with Lee School's debate over opting out of high-stakes testing. Emily Atterbury, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks, John. Good to be here.
I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Is opting out of state-mandated testing the right decision for Lee County schools? Connect with our guests by calling 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or join the live Twitter chat using the hashtag GulfCoastLive. And Emily Atterbury, let's begin with you. You regularly cover Lee and Collier County, particularly school board meetings, too, I would imagine. Has this issue of opting out of state-mandated testing come up before the board prior to last week's vote?
Well, yeah. You know, people have been really upset about testing for a long time here in Lee. And there's really this attitude here. It is a conservative area, and people really don't like federal overreach. So it has been a thing for a long time now. But it's really gotten a lot more real in the last 2 weeks or so. It was at the board meeting not this week, but 2 weeks ago, that it was first really brought to a vote. You know, everyone was talking about how much they hated state testing. And then suddenly, board member Jeannie Dozier says, well, let's be the first district in the state to opt out. And suddenly everyone's going, oh, wow, this conversation is real now. And, you know, they almost voted on it, but I think everyone realized that they may have jumped the gun a little bit, and then they tabled the discussion to the actual vote that did happen.
Interesting that it was Board Member Dozier, because she's not one of the folks who's been in support of the opt-out vote that's gotten all these headlines lately.
It is interesting. And I think a lot of people have wondered, you know, how she kind of changed her stance there. She says that she didn't exactly understand all of the ramifications, I think, that came with it.
Well, give us a little bit of insight into the meeting last week. My understanding was there was a proposal to, I guess, sort of delay an opt-out vote until a plan was in place, but that didn't go through.
Yeah, I think the reason that people, I guess the board members didn't feel like it was a good enough motion, they were worried that if they put some sort of time card on it, they said, okay, well, let's wait until October, let's wait until December. Everyone was pretty sure that if they did that, something would never really happen. And they wanted to make sure that something would happen. And they thought that was the most fail-proof way to do it.
And Emily, tell us about, you know, the variety of community members and different education stakeholders who gave public comment at, well, both meetings. Did they primarily represent one position over another, or was it more of an even mix of opponents and supporters?
You know, obviously the board meetings, you're going to bring out the people who are most passionate about the topic. So you have a lot of different stakeholders here. It seems everybody has a different stake in this game. Some people care about the education aspect, like Bob, who's with us. Some people seem to have a very political stake in it. And you see a lot of Tea Partiers. You see a lot of people against this idea of Common Core and federal overreach. And then you kind of have these concerned moms who see what's actually happening to their kids at school. So really, you get a really mixed bag here. But I would say the people who do come out to the meetings, it tends to be about 60-75% for opting out and the rest against it. That's just kind of the breakdown of what I've been seeing.
Okay. Well, let's listen now to some testimony given by parent and educator Kathleen Jasper, urging the board in favor of opting out.
All of us here tonight are asking all of you to be educational leaders and not blindly follow bad education policy, whether it's from the state or the federal government. We all talk about how bad these tests are. As an administrator, we used to talk about it in the hallways. This is crazy. We can't keep this up. It's unsustainable. They're failing our kids. Yet we still impose that policy on students and teachers. We're asking you to redefine what success is. Is it one measure, or is it a body of work that a teacher has looked over and assessed with her students? We're not anti-assessment. We want to see formative assessments come back into the classroom and replace the summative assessments that are punitive. And if you decide not to opt out, please do not stand in our way when we say that we are going to be opting out of these tests, that we will be boycotting these tests as an informed community and exercising our civil disobedience. Do not stand in our way. Do not intimidate us, please. But we ask you to show educational leadership today and not blindly follow bad policy.
In that testimony, Jasper brings up an idea supported by the Florida School Boards Association that student assessment should be based on more than how a student scores on an exam. If parents and students make the individual choice to opt out of state-mandated testing, regardless of what the district does, Bob Schaefer, is there currently a system in place for them to do so without facing negative consequences?
There's a partial system in place. There are ways, for example, in Florida to gain a regular high school diploma without passing the FCAT or the new end-of-course exams. It's by getting a particular score on the SAT and the ACT in the state's PERT college readiness exam. Similarly, there's a way for children to get promoted from third grade to fourth grade without dealing with the state's profound misuse of standardized tests as a promotion hurdle by simply compiling a portfolio of academic work that demonstrates what they know. And that's what Ms. Jasper, Kathleen Jasper, is a former assistant principal in Lee County Schools. And what she's talking about is working for the kind of assessment that supports learning and teaching, not the sort that comes down from Tallahassee or inside the Beltway in Washington and comes with punishments rather than ways to help kids learn.
Mm-hmm. And Emily, I was curious, did any Lee County students speak at the initial meeting 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, there were a couple. There was one of the most popular testimonies we're seeing is the Tess Brennan's daughter. I think she's either 7 or 9 years old. I think she's 7. Her name's Coral. She's super cute. And she's had a lot of issues with testing. It seems like she's one time she took a bathroom break and apparently she missed 3 questions during the time that she was out of the classroom and she saw her grades plummet. And so she was under the impression she couldn't read anymore. She went home and she told her mom, Tess, I can't read anymore. The test told me so. And, you know, of course, Tess as a mother was, you know, extremely upset by this. And so that's been we've seen them at, I think, 3 school board meetings now, if not 4. Yeah.
Emily, just overall, were you surprised by the board's initial vote to opt out of high-stakes testing? Did board member Mary Fisher's tie-breaking vote in favor kind of catch you off guard?
I think it was actually really surprising for all members of the media, if not the audience, too. I didn't really see it coming. I know that Mary, she is an educator at heart. She was a school counselor for many years. She has, a very heartfelt, emotional approach to her students, but she's also very pragmatic about her decisions as a board member. So, it's not surprising in the end that she did do the tiebreaker because she's the perfect person who could have done the tiebreaker. But at the time, yes, it was surprising.
Mm-hmm. And in conversations with reporters after last week's vote, Superintendent Nancy Graham expressed a myriad of concerns about how the vote would impact students. Let's hear now testimony from one concerned parent who spoke at Tuesday's meeting. This is Beth Helm.
My husband and I sent our son to public school this fall for the first time ever after 10 years of home education. We expected and trusted him to receive the benefits from striving for excellence in the ACE program, attempting AP credits, gain Microsoft certifications, and with hard work be eligible for various college scholarships. 2 weeks into school, we're told that these programs might be pulled and that he might not even receive a standard diploma. Can you measure and replace what's been lost in momentum, trust, clear goals, and expectations for students, teachers, and administrators? His teachers are discussing in class, probably as we speak, that they're going to receive less pay and that schools will have less funding and programs that enrich might be pulled. We were criticized when we used standardized testing in a homeschool environment, and now in a public school system, there are still people trying to tell me that my son should not strive for excellence, not test, nor compete. He wants to know how he's doing. He asked to be tested.
Your time is up, ma'am.
Thank you.
And concerns from parents like the one we just heard and from Graham and the district's attorney, ranged from how violating Florida education policy would impact future state funding for the district, how other education programs like the International Baccalaureate program or advanced placement courses would be impacted, to even whether or not Lee County students would be able to receive standard high school diplomas. Patricia Levesque, I wanted to bring you into the conversation at this point. Can you expound upon some of these concerns raised by the superintendent and the school district's attorney?
Sure. First, thank you for having me on the show. And let me start by saying I think some of the discussion that's going on in Lee County and in other places is actually very legitimate, and there's probably a lot more agreement among Bob and I than most people would realize. I think we need to have in the state fewer tests but better tests, right? We need to move to a place in our state where students actually can progress through the year based upon their mastery of certain skills. And we wouldn't then need to have summative end-of-year tests if we had a system that was based on that. As a mom, we need to have tests. I want my child to have a measure that is honest and objective so I know how he is doing as he's progressing through school. And taxpayers need to have some objective measure about how schools are doing. But one thing that I completely agree with Bob on is that there needs to be fewer and better tests. There needs to be policies, which we support, where no single test on a single day has a high-stakes impact on a child. And that's what we have in Florida. As Bob mentioned, there are alternatives for students to demonstrate promotion to fourth grade. They can have a portfolio of their work throughout the school year. And so my message to parents is don't let your child stress about the test because there is no impact on the child, directly for how they score on these tests. They're simply measures to give open and honest and objective feedback on how the child is doing.
And Bob Schaefer, you've been critical of the risks of opting out, highlighted by Lee County Schools Attorney Keith Martin, Superintendent Nancy Graham, as we've just been discussing. You say students wouldn't actually face any kind of immediate risk and that this has all been sort of overblown.
The statement of risks by the superintendent and the attorney were greatly misstated. They were exaggerated, and they amounted to fear-mongering. There is no impact, for example, on the advanced placement or international baccalaureate program from a decision to opt out of state-mandated tests, nor is there anything in state law, and I have a copy here, that says what the penalties are for a state opting out. That is, however, that's water over the dam. What is happening across Florida is what's important, is that the action taken by the Lee School Board last week has lit a fire across the state. Next week, the Brevard School Board is meeting to consider opting out. So is the Palm Beach School Board. Today, the superintendent of Miami, the largest Miami-Dade, the largest district in the state, fourth largest in the country, said that we need a pause in state accountability across Florida because the system is out of control. I'd be glad to work with Ms. Levesque and Jeb Bush, her employer of the Foundation for Educational Excellence, to work towards a system of assessment that actually improves teaching and learning. But first, you have to stop the current insanity so that our kids and our teachers can move forward and we can develop that new system.
Go ahead, Emily.
Well, one thing I want to jump in here and say is, you know, what I'm covering is that people care about the high stakes aspect of that. It's not necessarily testing that I'm seeing these people come to the meetings about, and I wanted to kind of clarify that a little bit, and maybe one of them could talk a little bit more about the high stakes angle.
And our organization is fair test, not no test. There, you know, the people who say, I don't want my kid to be assessed. Nobody's opposed to there being regular assessments by classroom teachers and some sort of external check and balance, like the Federal National Assessment of Educational Progress, to see that we're actually improving teaching and learning. But a system in Miami-Dade, the Miami Herald had a story yesterday, in Miami-Dade public schools, every day of the school year except 8, there's some standardized tests being given in the schools. In Collier County, right here in Southwest Florida, teachers had to develop 700 new tests over the past summer to meet federal and state requirements. That is insane. And what the public is saying here is enough. It's overkill and it's unnecessary, hurting teaching and learning.
And I wanted to stick with this issue about the possible impacts here just for a minute. In your reporting, Emily, have you contacted officials with the State Department of Education? Have they released any statements on the impact of the school board's initial vote to opt out of testing?
Right. The State Department of Ed has declined to comment specifically on the issues in Lee County. I think they're kind of taking a wait-and-see approach because they're, as everyone knows, seems to be a roller coaster. One day it's happening, the next day it's not. So they're holding back on that. But last week they did release a very long list of similar ramifications that were equally grave to what Nancy Graham was saying and the attorney Keith Martin.
I would just note that those were potential.
Right. They're very potential.
Potential implications. You know, we could be hit by a meteorite, too. That's potentially possible. They didn't say they will happen. And among the things the district claimed would happen is we'd lose federal funding. Somebody contacted the U.S. Department of Education and said, nope, we don't give money to the district.
And
we
that
give
was
it
my
to the
reporting,
state.
Actually.
Yeah,
they,
sorry, could give credit where it's due. So that was a total falsehood by the district that the federal government would cut off money to Lee County.
Well, the U.S. Department of Education actually gives funding to the state itself, and then the state decides where that money is appropriated. So technically, at this point, the U.S. Department of Education would not be the one penalizing Lee. It would be the state, is what they told me at the time.
Okay. Patricia Levesque, you wanted to jump in here?
Yes. I wanted to put two issues out there for us to discuss. And one, which is one that Emily brought up, is this difference on what is high stakes to the student versus what some may say is high stakes to the adults or to the system. And we're in agreement, I believe, with Bob in saying that, you know, there shouldn't be high stakes impacts on the student directly. These statewide tests are simply measures to provide information to parents objectively and honestly about how their child's doing compared to how students across the state are being measured. And so no child has this impact on their grades, on impact on their ability to be promoted, on their impact on their ability to graduate by a single test. They have other opportunities to show their work and demonstrate that they know their material in order to be promoted or in order to graduate from high school. What there is an impact on is on accountability on the system. So we as taxpayers or as parents know, how are schools doing with the vast majority of kids who are in their care? And what we have seen is when you have a really clear way to measure how schools are doing, and it's objective. So it's based on how are students progressing, how are students mastering the material according to standards. You can actually see lots of improvements. In 1998, before we had a statewide school accountability system, Florida was ranked near the bottom nationally. And then fast forward a few short years, and now Florida is ranked in the top 10 in 5 out of the last 6 years on student learning. That is because accountability actually works. I, for one, don't want to go back to a time where Florida was right near the bottom and we couldn't, as parents, count on our children getting great educational outcomes. Our graduation rate in the state has increased by more than 25%. The percent of kids taking and passing AP exams and earning college credit while they're still in high school has increased by more than 300%. We are doing a better job preparing our kids for the future and for, you know, the ability to have success in college or in careers, and that's because we're holding schools accountable. At the student level, as we've already said numerous times on this call, it's really important for kids to have other options that are not single test related. That's one issue. The second is this difference between state-required testing and district-required testing. There has been an explosion of district-required testing in many of our counties, and it varies county by county. An analysis that we did last summer, based on information that was just reported on the Lee County District website, shows that there were more than 165 tests required by the county that were not required by the state. And so are those tests good? Are they providing information back to teachers in a timely manner? Are they being helpful in informing how teachers cater and differentiate their instruction in the classroom? I don't know. I think that is the first place that we need to start looking, because there are several counties in the state that don't require a single test on top of what the state requires. So those two issues are really important. What is being required by the state versus districts? Is what's being required locally actually benefiting teachers and informing their teaching decision? And then let's differentiate between accountability that we really need to have on the schools and the system in order to improve student learning versus what's going on with the student themselves.
Bob, did you want to respond?
I mean, it's hard to know where to begin. First of all, using a test as a sole or primary factor to make judgments about an individual student, a teacher, a school, or a system is a violation of the standards of the measurement profession itself and the standards for educational and psychological assessment. Florida is a multiple repeat offender in the policies advocated by Jeb Bush and his successor, requiring tests as the primary factor to make all those kinds of judgments. That's the result of state mandates and then the Obama-Duncan administration adopting a similar philosophy and adding to it. As for which tests are required by the state, which by the feds, which by the local district, that's a game of figure pointing. The new tests invented in Collier County this past summer were done because Florida cut a deal with the state to receive additional money under Race to the Top, which required the state to require districts to have all these new tests to evaluate teachers. Whose fault is it? It doesn't matter whether it's a district or state mandated to test. It's just too much, and people from across the ideological spectrum, from Tea Party activists to badass teachers, as they call themselves, are standing up together and saying, stop it, fewer tests, fewer consequences, let's return to learning and teaching.
I think opponents of your position, Bob, might argue that, you know, the number of tests is one of the issues that many folks have with it. And if the district is mandating, as Patricia says, 160 exams on top of what the state mandates, shouldn't the district just take care of what it can do without violating state education
policy? Emily, no. I have testified at each of the last three board meetings and explicitly said, as one of the things the district should do to implement an opt-out policy is cancel district-mandated standardized tests that are not required by any other level of government. Of course that's necessary. But to suggest that it's the district the problem, that the state says it's the district that's the problem, and the district says it's the state that's the problem, the kids and the teachers are left in the middle and they're losing out on learning.
Emily, can you give us any kind of quantitative breakdown on how many tests are mandated by the state and how many are mandated at the district level?
That's actually a really great question, John, and I'm glad that Patricia had brought up that number because I think that number got a lot of people really concerned about what was happening in Lee County. I'm looking right now and analyzing what is tests for the upcoming school year, and as Patricia said, you know, many of them are district tests, but I think it is also important to clarify that a lot of these tests that are owned by the district or bought by the district for various reasons are used in accordance with state accountability measures. So in an essence, it is a district test, but it's required. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of a misleading topic. It's actually very difficult to kind of look as a reporter and say, well, how many are, you know, where is the delineation here? So check back for those numbers on the news press later this week. We're going to have a really big in-depth analysis on it. So.
Yeah, now I have the same list Emily does, and it's 28 pages when you print out the tests that are given at elementary, middle, and high school within the Lee County District. Whatever you think about testing, this is excessive and unnecessary.
We're exploring recent efforts in Lee County that have garnered national attention to opt out of state-mandated testing. Joining our conversation this morning is Bob Schaefer with the National Center for Fair and Open Testing. We're speaking with Foundation for Excellence in Education CEO Patricia Levesque and News Press Education reporter Emily Atterbury. What do you think about state-mandated high-stakes testing? Should Lee County continue pursuing efforts to opt out? Connect with our guests with your comments and questions. Phone lines are open at 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Join our live Twitter chat using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live or comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. Let's go to the phones now and take a call from Joe in Fort Myers. Joe, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi there.
Hi.
My comment, I think that we're doing a great disservice, and I kind of resent using the term opt out under these circumstances because there is no option here. People picked up the term opt out probably from the Obamacare debate where the states could say the states can do it or the federal government can do it. With the school stuff, there is no option B. And that's why they're running into all these problems. Yes, your guest can talk about there's a second way to graduate from high school to progress through fourth grade, but all those other issues, there is nothing in the state law that says you can do this. And your very first recording that you played, the person used the term civil disobedience. And that's what this is. I mean, this is just the school district saying, we are not going to follow the state law, period. And I don't know to what extent people actually realize that that's what we're doing.
Emily?
Yeah, Joe, you make a really good point there. You know, we get all these letters to the editor at the paper asking us, how do I opt out my kid? And, you know, there actually is no legal procedure for doing that. You don't fill out a form and apply. You don't, you know, give it to the principal or anything. It is an act of civil disobedience. And essentially, it's either you leave your kids at home that day or you send them to school and give them very specific instructions about, you know, not touching the test, not answering the questions, things like that. So Joe is right in many ways.
Yeah, I don't think we should be debating semantics here. Some people call it a boycott. Some people call it a protest movement. The goal is what matters, and that is to force policymakers in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C. to back off, to reduce the number of tests, and to reduce the stakes associated with them so our schools can return to a focus on teaching and learning.
John, this is Patricia.
Yes.
You know, one thing I think that's really important for your audience to think about, and that is, what do we actually want to prepare our kids for? And for me, that's for success in the future, whether that is going to college and pursuing a higher education degree or being successful in a career. And what I know as a mom is my children are going to face tests in the future, right? If they want to go to college, they're going to have to take the SAT or ACT to get in and to be admitted. If they want to go to graduate school, there's the GREs or the GMATs or the LSATs, depending on what, you know, type of graduate school they want to go to. Anything that my children want to pursue in the future, that that would provide them with a successful career, whether that's being a teacher or a doctor or a nurse or a pilot or an engineer or an accountant. I mean, there's so many things that you could list out. Kids are going to have to pass tests. You have to pass them for, you know, civil service exams. You have to pass tests to get your driver's license. I think what we need to make sure is that we have a healthy and balanced testing process that where teachers are not teaching to the test, but they're covering material that students need to know in order to be successful in their future, in their life, that, you know, kids need to be able to read, write, and do math and science. And so what we need to have is balance. I believe we need to have fewer tests and we need to have better tests. But as a parent, having a discussion about let's not have tests, let's opt out of testing, you know, that would be doing a disservice to my child. That would be doing a disservice to all the children of Lee County. Kids are going to need to take and pass tests in the future to be prepared for life. So let's have not a discussion about opting out. Let's have a discussion about fewer tests and better tests.
Well, we're taking a short break right now, but when we return, our conversation continues. We're talking with News Press reporter Emily Atterbury, Patricia Levesque with the Foundation for Excellence in Education, and Bob Schaefer with the National Center for Fair and Open Testing. If you have a child in Lee County Schools, tell us about your experience with testing. Are Lee County board members looking to opt out on the right track, or do such efforts jeopardize the quality of education in our schools? You can join our conversation with a phone call to 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Post comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. We have several callers waiting in the wings right now. We'll get to you right after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for being with us. We now continue the conversation we've been having on the role of state-mandated standardized testing in Florida following recent efforts by the Lee County School Board to opt out of those high-stakes tests. The board voted last week in support of such a decision, but then just Tuesday reversed course. Meanwhile, district administrators and school board members are coming up with more detailed plans for a future opt-out proposal. We're speaking with News Press education reporter Emily Atterbury, Foundation for Excellence in Education CEO Patricia Levesque, and Bob Schaefer with the National Center for Fair and Open Testing. If your child is in Lee County Schools, tell us about your experience. Are Lee County board members looking to opt out on the right track? Join our conversation with a phone call. Again, the number is 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. And to start things off, let's hear from Eddie Moore in Northport. Eddie, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, welcome. You're on the air.
Awesome. Well, it's great to be on the air. Appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to quickly say and kind of ask that how come we cannot keep the standardized testing score and just raise the bar or change the curriculum, because I think that's really where the problem is. A lot of kids are getting a bad education and then still taking these tests and doing bad on these tests, but I don't know. I sent my little brothers to private school so they can thrive, and I just want to know, is there not a way that we can restore confidence in public schools and keep the standardized tests?
So, Eddie, if I understand correctly, your issue is more with curriculum and education quality than necessarily assessment.
Then, yes, then taking the test or staying home that day, opting out from taking that test.
Well, most private schools don't have anywhere near the number of standardized tests as public schools do, and that's one of the things that has gotten people riled up, that the schools that people like Barack Obama or Bill Gates, who advocate standardized tests nationally, send their kids to specifically say on their websites, we don't believe in standardized tests. Yes, we could boost test scores by focusing more. We could turn our schools into nothing more than test prep centers where kids do worksheets and do practice tests. And you know, we're moving very much in that direction. And that is what public school parents are protesting. Let me just say one thing about what Ms. Levesque said before. the break, she said that, you know, we're doing very well in getting kids ready for college. In fact, on another test, the ACT given just this past year, our kids ranked 47th in the country, nearly dead last. That's possibly because all we do is drill them on tests that are necessary for Florida, and we don't get them ready for college, careers, or life. It's also very possible to go to college without taking standardized tests. There are 830 schools listed on our website, fairtest.org, that are test optional, including the number one private liberal arts school in the South, Rollins College in Winter Park, and Stetson, and a number of others. So this notion that you have to be tested, Ms. Levesque wasn't tested to get her job. Ms. Atterbury was not did not have to take a test to get her job. John O'Connor didn't take a test to get his job, and I didn't take a test to get my job. It's nonsense, this claim that you have to take tests to win everything in life.
So, John, this is Patricia again, and yes. I think your caller had a really good point, which is, you know, that we need to get back and focus on the instruction that is going on in the classroom. And so we do need to have a realistic view of what tests can do and how they should be used. Again, I'll say we need to have fewer and better tests. And eventually we need to actually move to a place where kids progress at their own pace and they get to, you know, we know because we're actually measuring all the way through the school year, and kids can move as fast or as slowly as they need to until they master the material. But as far as private schools are concerned, last time I looked, 95% of private schools administer some version of testing, and they do it because they have to report back to their parents who are paying for the tuition that in an objective way the students are actually learning the material. What do the private schools tout on their websites? They tout their SAT or ACT scores and their graduation rates and their test completion rates and how many kids are taking and passing an AP tests. So those are important measures, and it is true that testing is actually really important in the private school system. As far as what Bob was saying about our ACT scores, I think it's really important for your audience to understand that Florida actually is one of the states that encourages all their kids to take the ACT or the SAT test because we actually want minority kids and low-performing kids and underrepresented kids to actually be taking these college-going tests so that they can pursue college. And Florida, the 10 states that scored in the lowest on the ACT scores, all of those 10 states test 80 to 100% of their high school graduates on the ACT. In the top 10 states on that ranking, they were testing fewer than 23% of their kids. One state in the top 10 only tests 9% of their kids in the ACT. So that ACT ranking is a little misleading in that you can score higher if you as a state set your policy as saying we only want our top brightest, you know, 10% of our kids to take the test. So that's a little disingenuous statistic that Bob was using.
Emily?
Yeah, Patricia, I think that you brought up a really good point here with the college readiness aspect. One thing that a lot of people have been saying to us in our comments on all of our articles is they say, well, you know, that's good for people who want to go to college, but what about people who don't have plans to go to college and want to enter the workforce immediately after school? I think that's a key issue to bring up here, too. What is education doing for those types of kids?
Interesting point.
I think you're raising a great question, and that is the reason why in Florida there has been this policy. You can see it in high school grades, by the way. In high schools, we care about making sure, as a different measure, that kids are actually earning credit beyond high school, whether that credit is to go to college or whether that credit is an industry credential, whether it's, you know, computer certification, AutoCAD design, brake and mechanical certification. We want to make sure that kids are actually taking and earning credentials that will lead them to a job in the future. And because we have been measuring that and incentivizing that in our funding formula, Florida has had an explosion of kids graduating with industry credentials. Because I think you're absolutely right. Not all kids are going to go to college. We need to make sure that they are prepared and can get a good, high-paying, high-wage job when they graduate from high school.
All right, thank you. And Eddie, thanks so much for the call. Let's also hear now from Kelly Lavis. She's been waiting patiently in the wings here. Kelly, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, how are you?
Great, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you very much. I am an educator here in Southwest Florida. I've been educating since 1995. I have an 11-year-old son who was in private school because I was so worried about the importance placed on these tests. This year, I brought him back up to Lee County, and I put him in a middle school. And now, 2 weeks into the school, we are having this huge brouhaha, and it's very distressing as a parent going from private to public. My concern is that the emphasis on testing and making everybody nervous about testing and teachers getting all flummoxed is really detracting from the integrity and quality of what a good education is all about. Some of the Common Core testing requirements are starting to talk about eliminating the arts and lowering the literature classics to 30%. And I think this is a critical error. I think that you cannot deny that all of these elements integrate to create critical thinkers, problem solvers, and bright students who know how to handle and emerge into the future. And I think that I agree that we should have tests that are accurate and do help assess children, but I am so worried about the way we are headed in the curriculum aspect as well.
All right. Thank you so much for your comment there. Would any of you care to respond?
Well, one of the reasons our curricula has been narrowed and dumbed down is because we have to focus on getting kids higher scores on standardized tests, which matter under the current system for them, for their teachers, and for the school's rankings. Because of the testing, we end up narrowing teaching and learning. As the group here in Lee County says, its name is Teaching, Not Testing. We need to return to a broad, rich curriculum that prepares kids for college, for careers, and to be effective citizens in a democracy, which is often not mentioned. And that does not require memorization and regurgitation, which is the best way to get high scores on many of these standardized tests.
All right.
So, John, I want to agree with your caller in that we have to get back to focusing on teaching. And there are so many things as a parent that are important to me. The arts clearly is one of those things. I want to make sure my children are exposed to creativity and fine arts. But the other thing that I really want to make sure of is that my children know how to read and write and do math and science so that they can be well-rounded and capable citizens when they graduate and they're able to pursue and have success in college or in work. And so there does need to be a proper focus. I would say to any of your listeners, parents, make sure your child is not worried about the test. If your child is coming home and they're stressed about the test, make sure you are the one that says, "Don't worry, it's just a test. It is not going to impact your grades or your promotion or your graduation. Just do your best. Just show us how much you know the material." And you as a parent remove that stress. I think it's actually shameful that kids can start school and having never faced a test, they come home and they're stressed over it. That is an indicator that adults in the system are putting fears onto the kids that shouldn't be there. As far as, you know, the need to have more creativity and arts and those things in the schools, the most successful schools in our state are those who have not forgotten the arts, where they actually are increasing enrollment of kids into those programs. You know, this year, the Florida State Teacher of the Year is actually an arts teacher. And if you read what she talks about that she does in her arts class, is she actually teaches math and she teaches history and she teaches other content while she's teaching in the arts. I, for one, think we need to have more teachers who can do that, who can incorporate literature into the arts, who can incorporate arts into math. I mean, that's what it's really all about. How are we making sure kids are successful, well-rounded individuals? And that should be what our goal is in the public school system.
And Kelly and Fort Myers, thanks so much for the call there. Emily, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about, you know, what I'm seeing when I'm interviewing people about their fear of testing. And, you know, as Patricia said, parents do have a big part to play in this in terms of helping their student understand and making them confident in their abilities. But there are some students who, in my view, I think no matter what you tell them, I think they might still be extremely scared of testing. What I'm seeing a lot is students with learning disabilities and English language learners. These kind of demographics of students have a lot of difficulty with these types of tests. And a lot of parts, number one, either they can't understand the questions they're being asked, or they're not being asked the questions in a way that they can understand them, especially students with dyslexia and things like that. And so that's one subsect or two subsects of groups that I do see that no matter what their parents tell them or what their teachers tell them, they take it upon themselves to feel completely devastated by tests. And that's one important thing I wanted to bring up.
Well, that brings up an important point that I had been reading about regarding how Florida's Common Core style standardized exam is being measured, and it's sort of being field tested on students in Utah. Is that really, as you were just talking about, you know, English as second language learners, that might not be as big of an issue in Utah, say, as it is throughout Florida?
This year, Florida changed testing contractors from the multinational conglomerate based in the United Kingdom called Pearson, which repeatedly messed up testing here and many other states and has been fined by the state for doing it, and hired a firm with very little experience called the American Institutes for Research, and to develop a new test based on the new Florida Sunshine State standards. And rather than pretest that exam, which is the standard way to develop a new assessment for professional quality in Florida, they pretested it, or they're using testing data from Utah, one of the few other states where they have an exam. And a real concern is whether data from Utah, which is a very different state demographically, really applies to a state like this where the majority of our school-age population is not white. It's African-American and Latino.
I think one of the important things for all of us to pay attention to is how the Department of Education goes through their process next year after Florida kids have taken the new Florida assessment. The Department of Education is going to convene teachers, superintendents, principals, business leaders in order to determine and look at the data. How did our students do on these questions to determine how do we set our expectations? So let's be really clear. Florida is going to have that Florida teacher review of the test results in order to say this is what's working, this is where we're going to set those performance levels for the expectations for our kids. And that's really important. That process is going to be something that we all need to be engaged in and follow, and we'll make sure that the test is customized for Florida kids.
Shouldn't that have been done before it was administered rather than after the fact?
I think it's a great question. I certainly would wish that we had field tested the test, but we have made a decision in the state that we're going to use the test next year. I think what's more important is that we actually have a test that measures our standards and that we actually have an accountability system that ensures that schools that are struggling because they're not effectively educating kids actually get more resources and get more assistance. And that's what happens when in our accountability system, the schools that are struggling get more resources, get more attention, and get more assistance. And I, for one, wouldn't want to press pause on those resources and assistance going out to those schools.
All right. Well, go ahead, Emily.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention something with that. You know, it is true that these what they call lower performing schools do get more resources, but in some ways those can be semi-controversial. For example, there is one that takes the lowest 300 of the schools in the state and on the FCAT score. I think it's the FCAT math score, and it extends the school day. And I think it was 9 elementary schools in Lee County who had to do that. And while it's good that they're getting more education, I think I saw a lot of administrators, including Nancy Graham, being very frustrated that it didn't come with extra money. So the state wasn't footing the bill there when they said, well, you have to add an hour to your school day. And actually, Lee County only added about 20 minutes because they had already been a little over. But, you know, so how are you going to add? You know, that means more personnel. That means more money. And when you're looking at a cash-strapped district like Lee County, you know, I think they're a little fed up is the sense that I get as a reporter.
Let's take our final call this morning from Jesse Underwood in Cape Coral. Jesse, you've been waiting so patiently. Thanks, and welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thank you very much.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to make a comment about the standardized testing, I believe it ties in with the subsidization of education in schools. I mean, if you look at it, all standardized testing does is go to put out it funds the schools that do better in the testing, where inner city schools aren't getting as much funding because they're not doing as well in the tests. I believe, complete bastardization of the education process. And this is coming from a high school dropout. Like, I'm not sitting here riding my high horse. I dropped out because I lost faith in the entire American education system in general back in 2005 when I realized that I was being taught to memorization rather than actual education and knowledge.
Jesse, thanks so much for the call this morning. Either of you care to comment on that?
One of the concerns.
Sure, John. I think we need to just clarify that maybe the caller doesn't have accurate information on what actually happens in Florida. F schools get on average $2,000 more per student than A schools, and in fact, there's an inverse relationship. F schools get more money than D schools, that get more money than C schools, that get more money than B schools, that get more money than A schools. So the way that the actual funds are distributed directs school districts to provide more resources to the schools that are struggling the most. And so, it would be good to have that information out for your audience and for your caller so that he knows that's really what is happening with funding and student learning.
Hey, Jesse did make one important point, and that is that one of the effects of the fixation on testing is to turn lots of kids off to school, and that pushes more kids out on the streets without high school diplomas. And one of the results of that is our friends at the Advancement Project, the NAACP, have documented it feeds the school-to-prison pipeline, because kids on the street without high school diplomas, which for most kids you have to pass the test to get, are much more likely to turn to crime to be able to support themselves and their families. Not all of them by any means. But we can't afford to be turning kids off to school by making them test prep factories.
Bob is actually, accurate, and I will agree with him. Kids who drop out of school are more likely to enter the criminal justice system or require, federal cash assistance in order to live. But what he's absolutely incorrect on is the reality of what's going on in Florida schools. Since we started measuring and assessing and holding our schools accountable for how students were learning, we've increased our graduation rate by more than 25%. We've actually more than halved the dropout rate. The kids who have benefited the most actually have been Black, Hispanic, minority, low-income students who are graduating in greater numbers. And it's because we're doing a better job equipping them with reading and writing and math and science skills that they're going to need in order to be successful in the future. So, facts are really important. And when you have a good system, which is what we have, although it can always be improved, we need to have fewer and better tests. I, for one, don't want
I'm
to
sorry, Patricia.
Turn my back
we're at the end of the hour now. I apologize. So we have to end the conversation there. But thank you so much to my guest, Patricia Levesque. She's CEO of the Foundation for Excellence in Education. Bob Schaefer is Public Education Director for the National Center for Fair and Open Testing. And we've been speaking with News Press Education reporter Emily Atterbury. You can read her coverage on all things K-12 related on news-press.com. Thanks to my producers, Richard Chinqui and Ashley Lopez. This is WGCU Fort Myers 90.1 FM, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM.